This is Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, so we are at the top of the Mishnah there. The Mishnah says as follows: Hakosev nechasev levanav. Person writes off his properties to his children, and Rashbam explains that he's trying to avoid it from being lost and taking. He got remarried. He didn't want the children to lose everything, so he wrote the property to his children that they should have the guf, they should have the title of it. But if you look at Rashbam here, Rashbam said, "Kosim nechash lebanov, bari shirota lisa isha." A man wants to marry a wife. Ve'ino rota l'shabe nechash l'isha. He doesn't want also a property being shiba to the wife if he ends up dying. Pen yafsidu banim sheyesh lo miyisha rishona. So rota lichtov lahem nechashav l'achermos. So he wants to write the property to his children for after he dies. The children will get it, not his wife. Ela sheyochal peros b'chayev. But he wants to be able to eat it still. So tzarech sheyichtov, the Rashbam explains, tzarech sheyichtov mehayom ulachar misa. You have to write, it's yours today, and also after I die. Dimashma, mehayom yeh kenui lecha haguf levado. Today you're going to have the title, but you can't eat the peros. Ulachar misa, te nigmer tamatana, then the matana will be complete after I die. Shetelcha gam haperos ulachar misa, then you'll get to eat the fruit. That was what he wrote in the Mishnah. So again, right now he has the guf, the children have the guf, but after the Misa he gets the peros.
The concern is the Sheba to the Ksuba, the second wife, is that it?
It doesn't say.
Inherit
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It has to be the Sheba to the
Ksuba. Yeah.
So the Mishnah says now, Kosev nechasa levanav, tzarech sheyichtov mehayom l'achar misa, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In order to avoid this from happening, from the wife taking the property, so it's from today, and you have both mehayom and also l'achar misa. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarach, there's no need to write any of this. Rashbam explains, you don't have to write Mehayom. Once you write Lachar Misa, it's understood Mehayom. And we'll see why in the Gemara that is, why you don't have to write Mehayom for it to take effect right now, even for the children to be Kone, the Guf. So the Mishnah then says, Hakosev Nechasev Livno Lachar Moso. So what's going on here? So there's a Rashbam, he writes this much later down. The Rashbam has it broken up in the Mishnayos here. But he explains on the bottom of the Rashbam, around 7 lines up from the bottom, that la'achar moso hainum hayom la'achar misa. He, in essence, he writes both the language of today and tomorrow. That's the situation we're talking about, the beginning of the Mishnah, that says again, akosim nechasel v'no la'achar moso. So then what's the halacha? So right now the son has the guf for the karka, the av has the peros. So what happens, the Mishnah says, ha'av eino yachol limchor. The father, even though he's eating the fruit while he's alive, he can't sell it because mipnesha hein ksuvim leben, because the sons now have the title of the property. And v'aben eino yachol limchor, the sons can't either sell it, mipnesha hein pirshus ha'av, because currently the father's eating the peros. So neither one has full ownership. Again, the son has the kinyan neguf, and the ava's kinyan peros, so one without the other, you can't do a sale. What happens though, Mishnah says, Machar ha'av mechurun ad shiyomis. Let's say the father decides to sell it anyways. Right now the father has kinyan peros. He's eating the fruit. He sells it to Reuven. So Reuven is actually allowed to eat the fruit until the father dies. When the father dies, and then the son grabs it back because the son has the kinyan haguf. So you could sell the kinyan peros. You could sell the rights for the zechus peros to somebody else until he dies. Let's say machar ben. Let's say the son decides to sell it while the father is still eating the peros. So the son sells it to Reuven now, and the son only has kinyan haguf. The Mishnah explains, "Ein l'lokech ben klum ad sheyomus ha'av." So Reuven can't take the property because the father's alive and the father's eating the peros. But once the father dies, so then Reuven's allowed to take the property fully. So the Gemara now asks, "V'chikasu mehayom lachar misa mayhave?" So what if you write the language of today and tomorrow? How does such a kinyan work? So Hatana, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Gittin as follows: Mehayom lachar misa get veino get. The guy writes to his wife, "Here's your get from today, and it will take effect after I die." The Gemara, the Mishnah says, it's a get veino get. It's a suffix. We don't know if it works. Vimei. So now, if the husband dies and he dies childless, so the brother-in-law chaletzes v'loyim samebes. He can't do a yibum because maybe they're not married anymore. But at the same time, she can't get married to someone in the ship because maybe it really wasn't a get. So there's a suffix whether mayom l'achar misa works for a get. So to our case, it should be a suffix whether or not the matana works when you write mayom l'achar misa. Because let me backtrack for a second. If you give a gift to someone now, mayom, it certainly works. If you give a gift and say l'achar misa only, it does not work because you can't give a gift after one dies. So now you're using both languages, so is that a mehayom or is it lachar misa? So by the case of the get, it's a suffix. We don't know if he means today, it's a good get, or if it means after I die, it's not a good get. So how come it's not good by the get, or at least it's a suffix by a get, and the Mishnah says it's vada a good matana? So the Gemara explains there's a difference. Hasam mishapkalon there by the case of gittin, there's a suffix itanai have I chazara have. When he says mehayom, here's your get mayom, and then he says lachar misa, is that just simply making a condition that it gets good now, but it's going to be conditional until I die? Or is he retracting? He says mayom. He says, you know what? Let it be lachar misa. And then he retracts, in which case it wouldn't good be a good get, because a get's not good lachar misa. That's the suffix by the get. And that's why it's a suffix, get veino get, in meis chaletes veloi misav emes. Aval hacha, here that by the case of the matana, where the father's writing the matana, the gifts to his children, he says mayom lachar misa, hacha, hachi kamar. And the father says, gufa kani mehayom, and peril achar misa. Since there are two acquisitions, two ownerships of the property, there's a guf and then there's a peros, that's why he splits it up. He says, mayom, today is going to be your title, kinin a guf. Achar misa is mea peros. And there's no suffix whether he's making a tanai or whether he's making a chazara. Here it's clearly referring to two aspects of the ownership of the land, and it's vadai, a good matana. So Gemara now quotes Rabbi Yossi, Omer Eino Tzarech. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to write Mehayom. If you simply write Lachar Misa to your sons, it's understood that right now he has Kinin HaGuf, and Lachar Misa gets Kinin HaBeros. How is it understood that right now you get Kinin HaGuf? He doesn't say Mehayom anywhere. So Gemara says that Rabba Bar Avua was Chalash. One time he was ill, and all Lugave, they went to visit him, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, went to visit Rabba Bar Avua. So Amarle, they say Rav Huna or Rav Nachman. Rav Huna turns over to Rav Nachman. They were the visitors. By minei halacha Rav Yossi. Oh, ain't halacha Rav Yossi. He says Rav Huna says Rav Nachman, you ask him whether we passing like Rav Yossi this mission or not. And for some reason, Rav Huna didn't want to ask the question, so he asked. He was a little shy. I don't know. Rav Nachman, he said, you ask the question, Rav Nachman. How do we passing? So Amarle, so Rav Nachman says, time with Rav Yossi leadana halacha by minei. So I'm not sure. He seems to be saying that. Rabba Bar Avua, granted he's a great individual, but he doesn't even know the reasoning of Rav Yossi. So if he doesn't know the reasoning, is he going to know how to paskin? So Amar Lai, he says, At Bai Me, don't worry about it. You just ask the question, I halacha ilo, but taima ana minilcha, I'll explain to you the reason for it. All right, just ask the Shaila. So fine, so Rav Nachman was convinced, and Bai Minei, so Rav Nachman asked Rabba Bar Avua, so Rabba had a Masorah. He was older, so he had the tradition of Hadapaskin. So he says, Rav says, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. That's how he paskin, that Eino Tzarach, you don't have to say Mehayom. If you write the property to your children, Lachar Misa, it's understood it means Mehayom, Ulachar Misa. So Basad Nafku, after Rav Nachman Rav Huna left the house of Rabba Bar Avua, so Amar Lai, so Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, Hainu time with Rabbi Yossi. Let me explain you the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi, why he doesn't require writing Mehayom. And that's for the following reason. Damar, Zmanu Shel Shtar, Mochia Chalava. When you write the date, even though you don't write the word Mehayom, but you write today's date is June 6th, let's say, or June 7th, so you write that means Mehayom. That's understood that means Mehayom, and it replaces the word Mehayom. That's the svar of Rabbi Yossi, and that's how he paskin. So then the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same idea, that Rabbi Yossi Omer Eino Tzarach, you don't need to write the words Mayom. Why? Shizmano Shel Shtar Mochia Chalav. Writing a date tells you that it takes effect Mayom, and when you write in as well Lachar Misa, that means it's going to take effect in two parts. Mayom is Kinin Guf, Lachar Misa is going to be Kinin Peros. Gemara now asks, Vay Minei Rava Mirav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman, what about the following? Yeah.
Rashbam says that the option would have been that if he didn't want it to be chal now, he wouldn't have put the date, which I thought it wouldn't be a kosher.
Yeah, I guess it's not. It's only possible, I think, by get, not by regular shtaros.
Right.
So that's assuming it wasn't normal to write dates. Nowadays, where everyone writes dates, right. On so, questions, does it? How does that work?
So Rashbam says that if he didn't want to give it now, he wouldn't just put no date. It's interesting.
Okay, so Gemara asks the question, what about Hakna? When it comes to the case of Hakna, do you have to write the words Mehayom? Rashbam says here, it's around halfway down the wide lines, the first words are Behakna Ma'u. Bishtar Shekasav Bo Kinin. When you write the word Kinin in a shtar, so then, Mi Pligi Rabbi Yehuda Umatrich L'michta Mehayom. Does Rabbi Yehuda then argue in Rabbi Yossi still and require the words Mehayom? Because Mishum Halchi Kmei Barley, this is the question based on the following. Dikla Meimar Dibishtar Matana Below Kinnim Pli. Maybe the only question was, when you're writing a document, I'm gifting this to you, but you don't use a Lashon HaKana, so then you need Mehayom, when you write just a gift, a contract on a gift. When you're writing a document as a HaKana, as a more being makna something over, maybe the Lashon Kinnin is stronger, and you don't even need Mehayom, like the case of a Matana. That's the Shaila. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Nachman answers, Bakana, Eino Tzarech. If you're writing a shtar that has the word kinyan in it, so you don't have to write the word mehayom either. So the Gemara says, Rav Papi, Amar, Ika Knisa de Tzarech, Ika Knisa de Lo Tzarech. It's not so clear cut. Not every case of kinyan requires a mehayom. So some do Tzarech, some require mehayom, others don't require mehayom. What's the chilek? When do you need mehayom for a hakna, and when don't you? Akna v'kinyana minei lo tzarech. Kinyana minei v'aknai tzarech. So there's two languages, aknai v'kinyana, and depends on what you use for the first line and what you use for the last line. Look at the Rashbam for an explanation here. Rashbam a little bit further down now, or halfway down lines now, again, the first word, aknai v'kinyana minei lo tzarech. Zeu shekosim b'chol shtar shekosim bo kinyan shnei kinyanim. Every document has the word kinyan two times. Echad b'tchilas hashtar, one in the beginning of the shtar. V'kach amar lanu. Havu alai edim v'kanu mimeni v'kasu v'chasmu. You should be the edim and you should acquire from me and write and sign your name. That's the first language. V'haynu aknai shikna le'edim b'kinin suder l'zakos lo l'makaba matana. You first write to the edim that you're witnessing this document. I want you to acquire Bizoch on behalf of the Makabel. That's the first line. That word that's being used is aknai, that you're going to be kone. Ve'echad b'sof ashtar, one more time at the end of the document, it says, v'kinyana min ploni leploni kechoma dekasim before shleil. And everything that's written in this document is like the end of a ksuba. You have when it's written, v'kinyana is the end, everything, kinyana kol dekasim before shleil. That's the last line, it says kinyana. So these are the two languages. So look what the Rashbam says further. Kidamar lekamen beget pashit tzarech sheyachzer minyano shel shtar b'shita achrona. After you write a document, all the details, you need to have then a one line summarizing everything. Everything above is all going to be a kinyan. So that's a typical shtar. And there the Rashbam writes, Hilkach im kasev b'rosh shtar aknai. If you write in the top of the shtar the word aknai, ubeseifa kasev kinyana, haino yifui koach demashu shnei kinyanim. That's giving greater strength, that a double kinyan almost. Therefore, there's no need for the words mehayom, because two kinyanim like that, first aknai, and then kinyana is a very strong transaction. It's a very strong shtar. Hu hikna v'gam anu kinyana mimenu. The kinyan yaseira, the extra lashon yaseira, of kinyan rather, hu yifui koach liknos mehayom, it's giving you added strength to acquire from today. Aval bat, if you switch the order around, says the Rashbam, im kasa barosh shtar v'kinyana, the word kinyana is used first. And then besofa, you write the word aknoye, then mashma kinin echa. That implies only one kinin that weakens the mekabel's ability to receive. It does not imply the word mayom, because the prushe kamefarish, the kinyana minei, and it's just really explaining it. That Rashman goes on to explain how it's read, but either way, if it's out of order, that's a weaker shtar, and you would need to write the word mayom for it to take effect now. So the Gemara, now, before you go weiter, look at Tosos on the top for a second. Tosos, there's one Tosos here. Aknai v'kinyana minei lo tzarech. If you first write the word aknaya, and then the last line you write kinyana, that doesn't need the word mehayom, because that double lashon is a strong shtar. So the Rashbam, the Tosos rather, quotes the Kuntres here. Echad b'rosh ha-shtar, echad b'sof ha-shtar. Kedamar d'tzarech shi'achsu minyana sh'shtar b'shita achrona. Tosos asks, v'kasha, d'ha ein l'meiden m'shita achrona. There's a klal that you cannot learn any halachas from the last line of a shtar. So how can the Rashbam say that the last line is a summation, a review of everything that was said before, and you have we don't learn from the last line? So I'm not sure what he means. There's a bunch of girsos, the last couple lines here of Tosfos. But what the Rishonim answered Tosfos' question is as follows. It's not that the very last line they write the word kinyana. They have the word kinyana on one of the last lines. It's like the second to last line. That's what it really means. At the end, somewhere at the end, is where they write the word kinyana, but it's not the very last line. It's maybe the second to last line, and that's how they explain it. So the Gemara now asks the question, Maskivla, Rav Chanina Misura, Mi'ika midi da'anin lo yadinan v'safri yada, Is there such a thing that we, the Bekim, we Tamidei Chachamim, we don't know the halacha, that there's a difference between Aknisa versus Kinyana, first or last, and that the Safri Yadeh and the Sofrim know? Meaning, I never heard of such a chiluk before. So it's impossible, this can't exist, it's not true. Because if we don't know about this, then certainly the Sofrim don't know about this, and this chiluk of the first Aknisa, the Kinyana, back and forth, doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara answers, what do you mean? Let's do some research. Just because you don't know doesn't mean the Sofrim don't know. So Shalunu l'Safri d'Abaye, they asked the Sofrim, the personal scribes of Abaye, v'yavde. They were very aware of such a chiluk of whether a kni of the kinyan is first or last. And then they went to do a little more research and l'Safri d'Rava. They asked Rava's personal scribes, the Osiyade. So if the Sofrim of these great Amorim knew about the chiluk, so therefore it is considered a good chiluk whether you write first Aknisei versus Kinyana. That's what the Gemara concludes. Then comes along Rav Huna Brei, the Rav Yehoshua Amar. No. Bein Aknaye v'Kinyana minei, Bein Kinyana minei v'Aknaye lo tzarech. No, it doesn't make a difference the order. If those two languages are both used in a document, whether or not one is the other, first or second, doesn't make a difference. Both those cases don't require me'ayom. That indicates a very strong contract, and it implies me'ayom. When is there machlokes? U'beduchron piskame dehave ba'anpe pligi. Duchron is lashon of zachar, remember. Duch piskame is like a letter, piskam. So a letters of remembrance, dehave ba'anpane pligi. What's this referring to? So if you look at Rashbam here, it's around 10 lines up from the bottom. The first words on the line is beduchron piskame. Hainu shtar edus below kinin. If there's a documentation of a testimony without a kinin there, Zichon Dvarim, Vlo Zichon Kinyon, where they remember various facts and details, but they don't remember the actual acquisition, so that's where there's a debate. The Hainu Krav Nachman, Damar Hakna, Eino Tsarach. That's where Rav Nachman says you don't require Mehayom. So I'm not really sure, to be honest, what this case is referring to. If it's about Zichron Dvarim Ba'alma, I don't know the acquisition that's taking place here. It's simply a detailed of facts. So I don't know what it's referring to, which machlokas. They have some insight in the article here. I didn't have anything in the sift here as to what the debate here is. No insights there? Right, so then I don't know what the debate is. So therefore, what's the need for Hamayom? What's the machlokas? It's simply just reminding us what had happened. So I don't know whether machlok is mayom or not mayom. We're not creating any acquisition. So I don't really know what the machlok is.
Also something for the future. So what's the difference?
And again,
mayom. Could it happen? Could you give it to him 10 years?
Yeah, whatever it is, it's not for the future. Nothing's being accomplished here.
Maybe the regular star doesn't specify mayom, and you want to rely on this.
Uh-huh.
It depends. If you're doing it right away, then you need it. Yeah, but this is something.
You go back to the Zichron Devarim, the summary.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Uh-huh. Even though it's not an actual star, but maybe that could be enough proof to say Mehayom.
It's Comey's notes.
Right.
It's not an official document.
Could be.
But it's considered.
Can you use that to substitute for the Mehayom on the actual on the actual star? Okay, could be. Very good. Fine. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Kana Amrisa L'Shmaita Kamed Rav Zvid Mehar Naharda. They said this whole halachic discussion in front of Rav Zvid Mehar Naharda. Amrili, he says, Atun Hachim Asnisalai, you learn it like this. However, Anan Hachim Asnisalai, we have a different way of teaching this. That Amar Rav Nachman, Bakna Einot Sarach. When it comes to a acquisition, there's no need to write Mehayom, Bein Aknaya Vikinana Minei, Bein Kinana Minei Vaknaya Lot Sarach. Regardless of the order of the words that you're using, it never requires Mehayom. However, Beduch from Biskama, the Havi Ban Pana Pligi, but they're arguing about, we'll say Dr. Simai's way, if the date or Mayom is used on that Zichron Dvarim, on that, the notes, so then that's a debate whether or not you could use that to substitute for Mehayom that's not mentioned on the Star, or not. That's the question. Okay. Mar now says, last two lines of the Amud here, Akosev Nechasov Vino Lacher Moso. Person writes his property off to his son. And today, Mayom Ulachar Misa. So the Gemara quotes a machlokis here, Itmar, Machar HaBen B'chaye HaAv, Umeis HaBen B'chaye HaAv. So what happens? Right now, the son has the Kinin HaGuf, and the father has Kinin HaPeros. Right? Father writes to the son, you could have it after I die. So the father's still enjoying the Peros, but the son owns the title. Son sells the property while father's still alive. The Ben sells it. He He's allowed to sell, but the sale doesn't go through. It doesn't take effect until after the father dies. What happens is the son dies before the father. So now what's the halacha? So the Gemara says on the top of Amr Beis now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kana lo keach. The lokeach can't buy it because since he never had a rishus, he never had control of it. The son sold it, and the son died. Right. Nothing. It's not a good lokeach. Not a good kinin. Reish Lakish argues, and Amar kana lokeach. No, he thinks that it was a good sale. And even though the son died first, after the father dies, lokeach is going to get it. So what's the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? It's a very fundamental machlokus here. So Gemara explains Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kana lokeach because kinin peiros could kinin a guftami. Since the father has kinyan peros, that's the ikur kinyan. So the father, the son, had no right to sell anything, and therefore it's not a good sale at all.
Can't separate one from the other.
Exactly. But Reish Lakish Amar, no, kana lokeach, the lokeach is going to acquire it after the father dies, even though the son already did die, because kinyan peros lav ki kinyan guf damim. The fact that the father was eating kinyan peros, that wasn't a strong kinyan. So just in the way of it, but the moment the father gets out of the picture and the father dies, so then Mimela the lokeach will have the full rights to use it.
He never got control of it. He doesn't get control of it. The son wouldn't have control of this kingdom, wouldn't go in effect until the father died.
Correct, but that's the question.
How can he sell something that's not really his?
He right now he's a kinyan haguf. He has a kinyan haguf right now while he's alive. That's the whole debate. And the father has a kinyan haperos. The question is the kinyan haperos of the father strong enough to prevent the son's kinyan haguf of selling the property? That's the whole debate. Rabbi Yochanan thinks kinyan haperos is strong, so the kinyan haperos of the father does prevent the kinyan from taking place. Reish Lakish thinks kinyan peiros is not kinyan guf, and the father's control doesn't get in the way of the kinyan.
In Rabbi Yochanan's sheet, it's a little hard to understand why, if the son doesn't die, but there's no subsequent acquisition between the lokeach and the son, and why does the lokeach get it?
It was a delayed kinyan. It was delayed. So he said the kinyan now. It's like, this is a kinyan that will take effect after my father dies, and I'll have the full rights to it. It gets the process of the ball rolling, I think.
I would say even more. I would say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Yochanan, right? Then it wouldn't help for if the person sells his nechassim so that his wife shouldn't get it. As soon as he dies, he wife get it at the same time as the other one. So why shouldn't the wife have that as a guarantee for the ksula also?
Because the kinyan peiros.
Meaning he wants to give away the land so that when he dies,
right,
his new wife shouldn't get the ksuba.
Right.
But if it doesn't take effect till he dies, then they're both acquired at the same time.
No, because it was said before that the son gets it first. The son's the yorish. So now the shibud of the wife shibud won't exist because since the kinyan guf, let's say you sell a property, a full property, you sold to someone else,
right,
and then you get married. That wife can't have any shibud on the property that I sold.
Yeah, but if he doesn't, if the kinyan aguf is like kinyan peiros, he doesn't take away the shibud.
So the question is, can a shibud work even if you say kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf?
Right. Then,
someone else also has kinyan aguf. Will that shibud be chal on the kinyan peiros aspect,
right,
or not?
I mean, it would seem that the shibud falls first because the shibud is while he's married, and the kinyan and the sale falls after he's married.
I hear. So to figure out, maybe shibud could only be on where you have full ownership, kinyan peiros plus kinyan guf,
right,
when it's competing. Because right now, according to Reish Lakish, according to Yochanan, where the father has kinyan peiros, which is kinyan guf, the son also has kinyan guf. As the just kinyan, now there's competing kinyan gufs now. The son has a like shutvis,
right,
now, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, the father who has kinyan peiros is lavka kinyan guf damim. It's really all the sons.
It's completely separate.
But if you assume that, like Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, that kinyan peiros is kinyan guf, he's also agreeing that the son's kinyan guf is also a kinyan guf, though.
Is it?
I would imagine so.
Why don't they argue on Rashi?
I would imagine.
He might say no. He might say, listen, the father has a peiros, so he also has the guf, and the son has zero.
If that's the case, then it's a good.
No, I mean,
it's
a possibility that
maybe
he says that.
Maybe. Yeah, I hear. So if it's competing,
sure. If it's competing there, but I think that when he says kinyan guf peiros, means that since the son doesn't have the peiros,
kinyan guf is nothing. Okay, so here, talking, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
And the Rosh Kompit points out a couple points that if the son were to die and hadn't sold the property off, right? He didn't sell the property
right
off. Nobody disputes that it goes to the son's yorishim. It wouldn't go back to the father's yorishim, right? Even though.
And why is that?
Exactly. Why is that? I'm not sure. But even though kinyan peiros kinyan guf, I mean, the son's dead. So there's no son now to be yorish it. There's no dispute. It would go to the son's Yerushim and not back to the father's Yerushim, even though it's not going to Lokeach.
Sound like he says Kinyan Guf. But that's a Dinei Yerusha also, Yotei Reichel. Yotei Reichel of the Ben.
But you see, he's being Yorish something. In other words, again, to your point, that there's kind of like a Shutfis of a Kinyan Guf. You see there's something by the Ben
right.
that kind of has resonance that goes down.
Right.
No? He's
Ravi. Yeah, but right now we're talking about the Kinyan Guf ad. Right now, it's current ownership on it. Okay, fine. Let's start here in a little bit. But look at Tosfos on the top here. The Rasha Rabbi Yochanan Savar Lo Kana Lokeach. He says that the Lokeach can't be Kone because the father has Kinyan Peros, and Kinyan Peros is a Kinyan Guf, and that prevents the son from selling the property. Tosfos asks Vatema, Im Kein Amai Yitzrich Takanas Usha, De Isha Shemacha B'Nichse Mulug B'Chaye Baila. If a wife sells a property to Nichse Mulug while her husband's alive still, Umeis and she dies, the loss of Lo Klum. It's not a good sale. So what's the shaila here? The ish has kinin haguf, and the husband has kinin haperos here. So Rav Yochanan holds kinin haperos is kinin haguf. The husband, rather, now has kinin haperos. So now, of course, it doesn't work. If, again, my wife sells my property, then I'm eating kinin haperos. So the Gemara says, takanas usha, that's not a good sale. Of course it's not a good sale, because I'm the husband, I've got kinin haperos. Kinin haperos is kinin haguf. Of course she has no right to sell the property. Why do you need a new takanas usha to say that, oh, the sale is not a good sale that she made? So Tosfos answers, two answers. V'yei shlomar, din ma'iri kigon shekasav la din v'dvarm ein li b'peros nichseich, u'peros peroseich avalo kasav v'nichseich. The situation where he writes, you have all possession, he gives his wife even kinin haperos. In a regular case, where she has only kinyan guf and I've got kinyan peros, about that she has no right to sell the property. But we're talking about a particular case where I, as a husband, gave her both kinyan guf and wrote on top of that kinyan peros, so then she has full ownership of everything. So she does have the full rights to sell it. Comes along takanas usha that no, if she sells it during my lifetime and then she dies, I get the property back. That's the chiddush there. That's where the Tosfos writes.
You could also say that in Nichse Meluk he has rights to the peros, but he's not really calling it the peros.
Ah, to look at the second answer, to Inami, exactly what you said. Hasam kinim peros de baal lo have elam medir banan.
Right.
The husband's right to eat the fruit is not a real din like the son when he wrote a property to his son like a real kinim. It's a din de rabbanan and velo mitzarche lechto meyom velo have kikinin aguf. It's not really kikinin aguf. It's a much weaker right the son has. So it's really the wife's right. Ter kinin guf. My kinyan peros is only a din d'rabbanan, and she really does have the right to sell the property. How come I get it back if she sells and dies? Only because of the takanas usha. Either way, we come out of this before we go weiter that Rabbi Yochanan holds that kinyan peros is kinyan guf, and Reish Lakish holds kinyan peros lav kinyan guf dami. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what's the need for the machlokis here by the son selling the property? V'ha ifligu, we're five lines down. V'ha ifligu be'yuchad azimna. Don't we already have this very exact machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in another context? D'itamar. Amocher sadeh l'peros. A guy, I have my property, I sell my property, I have the fruits to someone else, just to eat the fruits, not anything else. I own the land, but he gets the fruits. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar mevi v'kari. The guy who has the access to my fruits, he is mevi, he does bikurim, and he does the kriya, the mikra. And Reish Lakish Amar mevi v'eino kari. He could bring the fruit, but he's not allowed to do the kriya. Why not? To look at Rashbam here. Rashbam writes the last three narrow lines here that mevi v'eino kari sheino yachal likros hadam asher nasatali. You can't say in the statement of mikra bikurim the land Hashem gave me because it's not my land. You only have kinyan peros. You don't have kinyan aguf. Miu bahava chai, but he still has to bring it. Dichsev asher tavi me'artecha, that which you bring from your land, even though you don't, oh, it's not mine, you still could bring it. Sharei shiabulo yinika sakarka leperosav. Even though you don't have the land, the yinika, the nourishing from the land, that is still considered yours. You're gaining that, and you as the kone peros can be maybe, you just can't be mikra. That's what the Rashbam writes. Tosfos actually argues here, Dibra Maschel Mevi, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, it's a short Tosfos, but he writes the din, if you go down four lines in this Tosfos, Venira, Shetiknu Midirabanan Lahavi Mishum Kinin Peros. Really, Midiraisa, the one who has Kinin Peros only, doesn't even have to bring it. But he has a din, Dirabanan. The Chacham said you should really bring it, but you don't have to. But the Kriya they never instituted. Why did they not institute Kriya for this guy who has Kinin Peros? I have a Kriya Lo. What? So he said, it sounds like he's lying. But it's not really his. That's mechse kishikra. That we don't do. to bring it, then nothing seems false. He's not saying anything that's lying, and that's why there's a difference. But according to Rashbam says, Kinan Peros is chayiv to bring, midiraisa. Tosus thinks it's only chayiv midirabanan. So either way, there's machlokus, whether the Kinan Peros is chayiv to maybe even mikra, korei, or only maybe even no korei. What's the machlokus? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan Omer maybe even korei, he could also even do the kriya, Kisavar kinin peros kinin guf dami. The guy who bought my frights the fruits, he's a full kinin guf, like we said above. So that's why he's even more kore. Reish Lakish l'shitaso amar maybe ve'in a kore. He could bring, but he can't say because kinin peros alav kinin guf dami. He doesn't really have a chelik in the property. So why do you have to have the same exact machlok as one by Bikurim and one by the son selling the father's property? So Amalecha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Af agav de ba'alma kinin peros kikinin guf dami." Even though in general I hold kinin peros does work kikinin guf, that's why he's maybe the kare hacha. By the case of the son, it's tzrich sakadaitech. I mean, you would have thought, "Aba legave brei achule achil kamash melano." You would think when the father gives the rights to the son, he sells it. He's like really mochel everything, even though the father has the kinin peros. At this point, and we say kinin peros kinin guf dami. Maybe in the case he really was mochel everything to his son. I was using the property, I was eating the property. I really wanted to give everything to my son, so maybe he had full rights. And when he sold it, it should be a good sale. Kamashvla, no. Even in that case, when the father is kinin peros, the father's kinin peros is still considered kinin guf. He is holding back something from his son. That's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning. Reish Lakish Amar. Even though in general he holds a kinin peros does not work a kinin guf, and that's why maybe v'eino kore, your rights to the fruit is not enough to consider you a kinin guf. By our case of the son selling the property, why if the teacher says added a chiddush? Because I would have thought whenever it comes to the guy and his son, the father always have greater rights than the son. So maybe the son's selling should be meaningless. Even though the son sold the property, it should be meaningless because the father always has a stronger right than the son. Kamash Blan, that's not the case. Kamash Blan, it's still a good sale that the son did. That's a Reish Lakish.
What was this bar again? The father would rather... The father wants to have control because he doesn't trust his son. Is that what it is?
I'm not sure control. It's just that in terms of authority, the father always has, this is the Torah always gives him right. He's strong. He's older. I'm not sure. It could be control, authority, whatever it is. But maybe then even though I have kinin peros, and kinin peros normally is nothing as the father, so he should have a good sale, my son. When it comes to me versus him, though, the father always has the rights.
Because if the father wants to do something, the son probably won't tell him anything either. Wants to change something.
Right. It could be. I'm not sure. Rashbam doesn't tell us, I don't think, what the svar is.
Point,
it's just...
The father wants to change this morning now, can he? He gave him that document.
I'm not sure what the, you know, where else we see this. But either way, somehow the father has greater rights than the son, and maybe in this case, even though normally kinin peros is lav kinin guf dami, when the father's kinin peros, that might be a stronger type of kinin peros, and he would have kinin guf, preventing the son's sale but from being a good sale. Kamash lan, even in this case, the father doesn't have that strong rights, and his kinin peros is worthless, and the son does have the right to sell the property. Gemara now asks the question, Eisive, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. I want the property to go to you. Afterwards, I want this guy to yorish it. V'acharav yorishi ploni. Then after he dies, some other guy to get it. So meish rishon, after the first guy dies, so kanasheni. So you can't follow the order that the individual figured out how he wants the path of Yerusha to work. And then when the sheni gets it, and then the meish sheni, the second guy dies, so kanashlishi. And then the third guy on his list gets it. And meish sheni, let's say the second guy dies, Bechai Rishon. So number two dies, and then Rishon dies. So now there's a jump to three, or now it stays within the family of the Rishon, because once the second guy broke the chain, it's done. So the Gemara says, Yechazu Nechason Liyorshe Rishon. Nope, if Meis Sheni, Sheni dies, and then Rishon dies afterwards, it doesn't jump to number three, it stays within the family of the Yorshe Rishon. So the Gemara says, "Vim Isa, if it's really true, says Rabbi Yochanan, that kinin peros is lavka kinin guf dami liyorshei nosmi bailei. It should go back even to the initial morish, not to the rishon yore yerusha, but the morish, the original guy. It should go back to. Why? What's going on here? Drash Bam explains here. If you look in Dibur Maskel Yechazu Nechasam liyorshei rishon, halfway down the medium wide lines down, in the middle of that, the Ramaskli writes that if you assume, like Rabbi Yochanan does, that kinyan peiros is like kinyan aguf, when the Morish died, he gave the peros, he wanted the peros to go to Rishon. And if you assume Rishon, so he had kin and peros on it. And then if when he dies, so that goes on to his family, because kin and peros is kin and guvdami. But if you assume, like Reish Lakish, that kin and peros that Rishon had was lavka kin and guvdami, and they can't go to Shane because Shane is dead already. So why should it go to the Yorshin of the Rishon? The Rishon didn't have a kinyan guf to it. It should then revert back to the initial owner, the Morish, who really had the kinyan guf over it. The fact that we say it goes back to the Yorshin Rishon implies that kinyan peros is kinyan guf dummy, and that's why Yorshin Rishon would get it.
But the original guy dies.
The original guy.
Meaning the one, not the Rishon, the one who actually owns.
You're saying the Morish.
The Morish dies.
Correct.
So once the Morish dies, the Rishon has full power.
Because since he dictated that first Rishon gets it, then Shani gets it, and then Shlishi gets it, tells us he wasn't giving the full kinyan guf over to Rishon. He was only giving kinyan peros.
So we assume that when he does that, he only gives kinyan peros.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, you can't make such a thing of
right.
Rishon.
Then, you would say it should go back to the Morish.
Right.
To the
exactly. Okay. Unless you hold Kinyan. So if you hold Kinyan Peres that he gave the Rishon was Mamish Kinyan Guf.
Right.
So then it would go to his
right.
children.
Right.
If it goes back to the Rishon, Rishon really is the only one who had the Kinyan Guf.
Right.
And Kinyan Peres of the Rishon was really worthless.
You would say that Kinyan Peres. It would stay by the first.
Right. So the Gemara answers, Amar Leh, so Reish Lakish responds back, Kfar Targuma Rabbi Oshai already gave the explanation, Bibavel, when he was in Bavel, Acharecha, Shiny, the Acharecha is different. How is Acharecha different? Rashbam explained, Acharecha Shiny, Dimashba, Deguf, Uperis Nasan, the Rishon. We assume that he only gave Peros to the Rishon. No, Acharecha means you're giving Peros and Guf. So Rishon, in fact, was the full rightful owner, and that's why he gets it. V'chein Rami Rabba Barbar Rav Huna Kamed Rav Amar Acharecha Shaini. When it comes to Acharecha, you're giving over both the Kinyan and the Peros. We'll stop here. Tomorrow's going to continue the conversation, but it goes in a few lines in, so we'll pick up tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.